Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 to 24 and 32 to 49. This can be found on page 445 in your pew Bible. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socoh in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Socoh and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the Valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron pointed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went up ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was a son of an Ephratite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend to his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance for them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines against each other. David left his things and, with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers, "How were they?" As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out and fight against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned to me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor in him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he shook his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked at David over and saw that he was little more than a young boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you are coming at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine armies to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. Our second reading today will be from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. This can be found on page 1558 in your pew Bibles. That day, when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." This ends the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thank you, Melissa. Friends, would you pray with me this morning? Holy and gracious God, we believe that your word is true, that it contains all things necessary for us to know you. And so, Lord, through your word, speak to us today. Help us to receive it. Help it to change our lives as we grow more and more in love with you and with others. We pray in Jesus' name. In their own way, both the texts this morning from 1 Samuel and this, I got a beautiful baby right here. Listen, I'm not going to be able to preach. I'm going to look over and see Carter and those beautiful cheeks, and I'll have to preach over this way. Both texts this morning from 1 Samuel and from Mark ask us to grapple with a fundamental question. How do we face our fears? How do we deal with the things that frighten us, that cause us to lose hope, that shake us to our very core? How many of you have experienced something that has done just that to you? The story of David and Goliath is often interpreted this way. There's David, the little shepherd boy. There's Goliath, who's big and tall, scary, has a lot of weapons, he's loud, and David is the underdog. And with enough confidence, he's able to defeat this giant right in front of him. He takes down his fear, and we too can be like David if we just pull ourselves up and face our fears head on. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right? That's a very shallow reading of this well-known text. I think there's a lot in this text teaches us how to face our fears. Last week, we were introduced to David. Israel has moved from a system of judges who oversaw the people and arbitrated justice to a monarchy, to having a king. And the first king, Saul, is not a very good king. And God is not happy with Saul. So God tells the prophet to go out and to find Jesse in Bethlehem and to have Jesse parade all of his sons out in front of him. And one of those would be anointed the new king of Israel. So Jesse does that, and he brings all of his sons out, except for David. There's nothing special about David. He's a shepherd boy. He's not as handsome and big and tall and strong and as accomplished as all his other brothers. So all the brothers come before him, and the prophet says, no, it's not this one. It's not this one. It's not this one. Jesse, do you have any other sons? Well, yeah, but David. Well, get him anyway, Jesse. So David comes, and he indeed is the one. Prophet anoints him, and he is to be set apart to be the next king of Israel. And so fast forward to 1 Samuel 17. The Philistines have gathered on one side of the valley, and the Israelites are on the other side of this valley, and they're going to do battle. Now, in the ancient world, in ancient warfare, there was a very common technique that we see here in this story. It's a very efficient way of doing battle. You'd have a giant army here and a giant army here, and they would select one warrior to represent them, to fight one warrior from the other side. And they would fight. And whomever won, their victory would be passed on to the entire army. And whoever lost, that army would absorb that loss. And so the Philistines know the guy that they're going to send out. Here's Goliath. As Melissa said, scholars believe he is somewhere between 8 and 9 feet tall. He's carrying on his body 125 pounds of armor. This is a high-tech warrior in the ancient world. I mean, we're not too far out of the beginning of the Bronze Age. He's got bronze armor on. And he has the latest weaponry. And he's ready to go. And how does Goliath approach a difficult situation, a fearful one? With brashness, with overconfidence. He can reflect on all of his experience as a warrior, where he has defeated other armies and other warriors, and he brings all that, and he is confident, dare I say, overconfident, in his ability to procure a victory for the Philistine army. For 40 days, he comes out, and he just taunts the Israelites. And they are quaking in their shoes. They don't know who to send out. They don't know who could be a match to fight on their behalf against Goliath. Then David comes along. David sees this guy, and he hears what this guy is saying. And what does he say? Yeah, I'll do it. Saul said, oh, you'll do what? I'll fight him. I'll take him on. So eventually Saul agrees, and Saul does what? He tries to give David all of his armor, all of his weaponry, all of his technology. David says, no, I got this. I've fought lions. I've fought bears. I've got this. So he goes out, and Goliath sees him and starts mocking. And then what does he say? Goliath says something like, I will feed you to the dogs. I will beat you. I will win. And David says, God will give me the victory. And he goes out and he fights Goliath. Now, often in, particularly if you remember this story from maybe church Sunday school or coloring books, In fact, in the back, I know this because Beatrice brings this out just about every week. We have a David and Goliath coloring book on the back rack under the hymnals. And often the image is, here's Goliath with his spear and his sword and all this, and David has one of those slingshots, you know, the little rawhide thing that you pull back between the two sticks and kills him. No. Not at all what a slingshot was in the ancient world. Slingers actually were trained warriors, and they would often lead an army out into battle. And they had these slings that could be about this long. They would whip them. It would be to the side. And they would whip and whip and whip. And some of these slingers were so well trained that they could hit a small, tiny target over 200 yards away. And in this area where they're doing battle, which is not terribly far from modern-day Gaza, in this valley that they're in, a certain type of rock that's very, very, very dense. And ancient historians have shown us that slingers using that type of rock with their training, do you know how fast that rock could exit that sling? A 45 caliber bullet. This is not the case of an underdog who just happens to be lucky and take down a giant. This is a skilled warrior going up against another skilled warrior. One trusting in his own ability to accomplish something, and the other one trusting in God, going with him and supplying his need in the moment to face his fear. David goes out, and while Goliath is coming toward him, he takes that sling and he hits Goliath right in the forehead. Kills him. Now, what would have happened? David, as the warrior selected by the Israelite army, and Goliath, as the warrior selected by the Philistine army, they go to battle. David wins. And do you know what that means? That means the champion procured the victory, and that victory is transferred onto the entire Israelite army. And Goliath, as the warrior who loses, loss is transferred onto the Philistine army. Y'all are the Philistines, bud. So in this story, if we were to place ourselves in this story, and if we were to think about our own fears and how we manage, how we encounter, how we face our own fears in our own lives, do you think you're Goliath? Do you think you're David? I'm going to put something to you that me and that all of you, you know who we are? We're the Israelite army. We are shaking in our shoes. Friends, we can try all day to face our fears on our own. Try to muster up our own courage and strength to overcome those obstacles that seem to hold us back. The things that frighten us, that scare us, and we all have them. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of income, the loss of meaning and purpose, the loss of joy. We all have it, don't we? We all have our fears. And we can try to face them on our own, but I dare say that if you have faced any of your fears long enough, you know that that is just not sustainable. Facing our fears on our own does not bring the sort of abiding peace that we're looking for. And David's the champion. David is the one who procures the victory on behalf of all the people. I dare say that you and I are not exactly like David. We're the ones who need a David. We're the ones who are in need of someone who will go into battle for us, face our fears, and win us the victory. And the good news this morning is that we have someone. It's not ancient King David, but it's somebody in David's line. who came down into this world and walked among us and lived and loved and died on a cross. Why? So that you and I could have the victory. So that you and I wouldn't have to face our fears alone. So that at the end of the day, our fears and those things done to us and those things that we have done to others and the things that we keep hidden at our very inner recesses that we hope nobody ever sees, all of that is taken up into the gracious love of God. And none of that has to define us or hold us captive anymore. Because we have someone who has gone into battle for us, who has faced our fears for us. And when we accept and when we receive Jesus by faith, he now goes with us into any fearful situation, into anything in life that causes us to shake in our shoes. Those situations that disturb us and confuse us and cause us to maybe even question the very heart of our faith. We don't go into them alone. Someone goes with us. In the storms of life, we're not rowing that boat alone. There is someone there with us. And when you and I turn to that person in faith, and we accept what he has done on our behalf, we find that maybe even some of the most difficult storms, we find a peace and a calm in the midst of them. Because thanks be to God, we are not alone. Amen.